Because we're stronger and wiser. It's the Democratic Convention live from Chicago. I'm joined by your friend and mine, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and my former boss and a good friend, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. I can think of no finer gentleman to be talking to than you two in this very moment. What an exciting time. Welcome back, David.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. It'd be great to hear your voice, Mr. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes.
How's it going?
Doing well.
Good, good. Wanted to share just a few of the text messages we've got coming in. Folks, if you want to ask the county executive or the former lieutenant governor a question, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Text and phone lines are open. Kamala Harris going to be at in Milwaukee for a rally tomorrow. Big excitement. I believe the doors are opening around like 2 o'clock-ish, 1, 2 o'clock. Folks, if you had an invitation, you would have gotten it already and you would have RSVP'd to get cleared for that. That's when that's kicking off. One of our regular listeners and texters, Jeff from Shorewood, pointing out what I have been harping on for a while, and that is all of these policy pronouncements, whether you've got J.D. Vance talking about them or Donald Trump, they are absolutely devoid of any specifics, which I think sort of permits people to project onto these candidates whatever they're feeling and thinking. David, when you compare Vice President Harris's economic policy proposals that she rolled out on Thursday to these generalities that you hear from J.D. Vance and Donald Trump, what comes to mind for you, David, when we talk about serving and supporting the middle class and working people in Wisconsin and especially in Milwaukee County?
You know, one, I think it's extremely important to recognize is that, you know, Vice President Harris is not only talking about the new ideas and really talking about the specifics that she wants to put forth, but really talking about how this builds upon an agenda that's already been created by the Democrats in the past couple of years. But let's be real and let's be honest. You know, quite frankly, Donald Trump has been running as an empty suit for the entire 4 years. He is not bringing any policies to the discussion. J.D. Vance is the only thing trying to fill out this suit, and they're just trotting him out to all of these states when, quite frankly, he's just putting his foot in his mouth. Because they're not actually bringing any specifics to the table. They're not talking about these details. And so I think it's extremely clear that, you know, at the end of the day, Vice President Harris and Governor Tim Walz are fighting for the American people. They are talking about the things that matter most at the kitchen table. And I think that's one of the reasons why the former president doesn't have anything to bring to the table and will never bring anything to the table because he, doesn't have any ideas.
Yeah. Other than giving billionaires and the richest corporation tax breaks, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, when you look at and you start to compare these economic policies and these policy proposals, what jumps to mind for you?
Well, there's no comparison. And I'll just say that J.D. Vance has done a horrible disservice to my generation. He's a person who is completely disconnected from the realities of millennials, completely disconnected from the realities of the United States of America. And with that being the case, we already know who Donald Trump is. And it feels almost as if, honestly, and I only picked up on this yesterday, and I do have to do a humble brag. I did the ride across Wisconsin from La Crosse to Milwaukee. So you see a lot of interesting yard signs if you ride a bike from La Crosse to Milwaukee. And so there was one sign that was clearly formerly a Trump-Pence sign, and it just had the P in the E switched out for a V and an A. And there is a part of me that is like, did Donald Trump really pick this guy because of the ease of name switching? because of the syllables, because of the similarities in spelling. Like, it almost feels that that is exactly what he did. And from a policy perspective,
he won't forget the dude's name. You know what I'm saying?
He won't forget the dude's name. It's like you can easily correct yourself if he's like Pence. No, I didn't say Pence Vance. No, not Pence Vance. Of course, you heard wrong, right? Like, you can pull that one, right? He couldn't have gone with any other candidates because their last names just aren't similar enough to Pence. But when we have the policy conversation, or lack thereof, now, we saw what happened when far right-wing policy was unveiled to the American public. It was soundly rejected. Project 2025 is something that Republicans continue to try to run away from, although it has been the foundation of their governing attempts for the last generation. And so there is a reason they don't talk about policy. They talk about certain concepts, they talk about things in theory, but they don't talk about policy because it is deeply unpopular. And had there been a different response to Project 2025 from the American people, they would have gladly embraced it. But there is a reason that they are running away from it, although everything in there are things that they support. It's all on their grocery list.
Yes, absolutely. The thing that there's so many things about Project 2025 that I find offensive at some level. You've worked in government. I've worked in government. We've got Milwaukee County's county executive on the line. The thing that I found most disturbing was the idea that basically there would be a loyalty vetting for almost any high-level leadership position throughout federal government and as deep into the rank and file of federal government as there can possibly be. David, I'll ask you first and then Mr. Lieutenant Governor. David, when you think about basically having a loyalty pledge in order to get a job as a scientist at the CDC or to work on climate policy at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, what doom does that portend for regular families in your mind, Mr. County Executive?
You know, I appreciate that question, but quite frankly, it scares the living daylights out of me. I mean, the fact of the matter is that when you are turning positions, bureaucratic positions where people have been working their entire lives and at the end of the day are there to protect the American people, that's what they're there for. And now you have a guy like Trump and J.D. Vance who are sitting there saying, well, we want those folks to be loyal to us, which means that they're not there for the American people. They've never really had our best interests at heart because they're so focused on honing their own power to do their own bidding for both, again, these corporations and big billionaires. So it's extremely important that folks understand that Project 2025, the only thing that we should be focusing on is getting Kamala Harris and Tim Walz into this seat. We need to do everything that we can to make sure that this doesn't become into fruition. And it's very clear on why he is trying to distance himself from this agenda. It's deeply unpopular, and when you compare it to the entire agenda that Harris and Walz have been running on, it's all doom and gloom. And so I'm glad that, you know, as Democrats, I'm going to get my cup refilled while I'm in Chicago, focusing on, you know, what we are voting for and how we have something more to look to the future than focusing on the past and not going back to, you know, Donald Trump's antics and just in invoking chaos and silliness into our political game right now.
Yeah, and we experienced the loyalty pledges during Donald Trump's first presidency.
Yeah.
During his only presidency. And we saw it, whether it was with Jared Kushner. Rex Tillerson was our Secretary of State, if people don't remember that.
Yeah, right.
How ridiculous was that?
An oil executive,
he didn't even know why he got the role.
No.
The man seemed lost.
This guy's a moron.
That's what I'm saying. So we've had that experience, and we see what that lack of leadership has led to in this country. His, you know, picks for the U.S. Supreme Court, these are all loyalist picks, and he has, you know, he's shown us again who he is, what he will do. The only thing is, we see it documented, you know, very, very plainly in a whole bunch of pages
they wrote it down, a
novel's worth of policy issues.
Novel plus 892 pages.
Yeah.
I don't pick up too many books that are that long, other than like War and Peace, and I did that once. I mean, enough of that.
Yeah. Which is funny because Trump usually has like a one-page document that's all he can handle anyway.
Yeah, and well, that's probably why he's pictograph.
That's probably why he's rejecting Project 24 because he hasn't read it all.
He can't read it.
He hasn't made it anywhere near, you know, through the whole thing.
Mr. Coney, executive, I know you are in transit. I'm going to just say thank you so very, very much. And I'm going to leave folks with this little remembrance. Of course, I used to work for you. One of the things that I respected most about working for you is that you expected from me at all times objective and accurate legal advice, and you valued that. You understood what my job was as a bureaucrat. I've always been proud to be a bureaucrat when I was one, to serve and to give people that are decision makers the best possible advice that I can give so that they can make the most informed decisions. Thank you for respecting my role and my job, Mr. County Executive. It was an absolute privilege and honor to serve you, sir.
Absolutely. And it was great to have you. And I just have to make sure that I tell you, I'm riding back to Chicago right now. And the chairwoman, Marcia Nicholson, told me to tell you hello.
You give Chairwoman Nicholson an enormous hug for me. Tell her I expect her on the show tomorrow, somewhere between 2 to 4,
yes,
because I cannot wait. Oh, I can hear you, Marcy. I love you.
Hi. Travels. I can't wait to speak with you all tomorrow.
Take care, y'all. Travel safely. I love you both. We will see you here in the flesh soon, and we will talk to you both tomorrow. Big, big love. Thank you for your time, Mr. County Executive. Madam Chairwoman, I will talk to you tomorrow.
You.
I will talk to you both tomorrow. Travel safely. Mr. Lieutenant Governor, I wanted to ask you this question. You've run in a statewide office in the state of Wisconsin.
Twice,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it is fair to say that your opponent in the Senate election certainly leaned into all sorts of racist tropes.
Mm-hmm.
What do voters in Wisconsin need to be looking out for to not fall trap to those same biases and prejudices that we see brought up again and again by the MAGA party?
Yeah, I think it's important to look at the facts and don't fall victim to fear-mongering. My opponent was shameless, and
yes,
the people who, propped up the campaign, the people who, you know, architected the media strategy were also shameless. And I can tell you, as shameless as they were, a presidential campaign will be even worse, especially in a state like Wisconsin where everything is on the line. Third-party groups have already announced historic levels of spending. And so while we are riding this high, we are riding this wave of enthusiasm, which is very real. I see it in more places than I would have expected. I've had somebody text me and ask, how can they get involved and volunteer for the campaign? And so I scrolled through our message history, and that person didn't even ask me how to get involved in my campaign.
Damn.
And I ignored that person.
Yes.
And I will soon give them the information to the party, because I'm not a hater. But just putting that
where
out
were
there.
You at? Right.
Yeah, where were you? It is a real thing, how involved people want to be in this campaign. There is also the other side of this. How fired up, how motivated the other side is now to get involved and show up to vote.
Yes.
And spend money. Yep.
It is absolutely critical. I can't thank you enough for your time, Mr. Lieutenant Governor Mandel. I consider you a friend.
Yeah, same here.
And a leader of our party. I look to you to help keep the base engaged and excited. I can't
Every
wait
day.
To see you out and about here at the DNC.
I am going to be all around on my bike.
On the bike.
Yep.
I love it. Russ Feingold might have driven around in a jalopy, but Lieutenant Governor Barnes is on his bike, keeping it 100.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Mandel.
Thank you
I appreciate
so much.
You being here. We'll catch up later this week with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, friend of civic media and a friend of each and every one of you, as we celebrate Kamala Harris and Governor Waltz taking the reins of the Democratic Party here at Chicago and the DNC. Live coverage from civic media. Stay put, everybody. Back in just a moment.